What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray. We're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
And before we introduce today's guest, my brother Eric from Huntsville, aka Hunts Vegas. You know, it's football season. Now it's time for that FAMU. The real A&M trash talk, even though we just took an L, brother. But who do you have for our Black Man Sunday spotlight, my brother?
Hey, thank you for that, man. And also, I'm also looking forward to football, man. It's finally here. But to get underway, man, guess what? My spotlight on this young brother. Name is Damola Akolikun. And I don't know if you may not know him, but I know you know some of his achievements. This is the brother who's the CEO, or maybe I should say the new CEO of Red Lobster. And he's just only 36 years old. And guess what? In May, last May 2024, the restaurant chain went through this bankruptcy, and it had to close down many of its locations. And because it was over $1 billion in debt. Now, by September 2024, the company came out of bankruptcy and had a fresh start under the new ownership and his leadership. Now, even though the challenge was big, Damola wasn't afraid. He brought back the same hope and energy that helped lead P.F. Chang's, because he did run that as well. Now, at Red Lobster, he is doing everything he can to bring the brand shine back again. Damola is focusing on better food, friendlier service, and a brighter restaurant in all his restaurants. Now, Damola started his career as an intern at Goldman Sachs in 2008. He studied economics at Brown University and later attended Harvard Business School. Now he said there are several people who are born and raised to do this, and they're taught at a young age. But he didn't come from the world. He was teaching himself in high school and college, become a better person than you need to be. That's my spotlight for today, Mr. Damola Akolikun. Now back to you.
Okay, I like that one, man. Yeah, I was looking at him. I saw this brother here in Orlando. I said, man, we got to get him on Black Men Sundays, man. This man
Absolutely.
done revitalized Red Lobster. Everybody,
Yeah, man.
yeah, man. Everybody, getting those boils and all. And I'm like, ooh,
Those
Red Lobster
boys
got
and the,
boils now. I'm like, Red Lobster
yeah, they
got.
got, yeah, man, the good seafood boys, yeah. And then and hey, don't forget some cheese biscuits now. Everybody want to get those.
Well, I know, man, and because our Red Lobster where I live closed, man. So we having to. So we've been having to get them cheddar bays from the grocery store, but the wife got them skills. She know how to do it just right. Because every time I
Do
do
it
it,
just right.
I'm like, it's mushy. It ain't just right. So, yeah, man, that's a good spotlight right there, man. And
Well,
it's
thank you.
football season now, man.
It's
I'm gonna take it easy
football.
on. I'm gonna take it easy on you today, though.
Okay. Hey,
Definitely.
but it's Gator time.
Oh yeah. Definitely go on and grill some gators, baby. Because them noles did they thing. So go on and fire that grill up for the gators, man. I appreciate that
Absolutely.
spotlight, my brother.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Definitely. All right, fellas. Today, man, we have a special show, man. We have this brother, Deshaun Harris, coming on the show. This brother's a licensed clinical psychotherapist, a mental health advocate. So, on Black Men Sundays, we talk about getting this money, getting this wealth. We talk about health, but we don't talk a lot about mental health. So, we're talking about that mental health today. This brother is the owner of Safe Haven Therapy Services. So, without further ado, Deshaun Harris, man, welcome to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself? Thanks for having me.
Definitely, man. Like I said on this show, we talk about getting the money, but I've had brothers early on say, hey, man, why did you have, I like the guy, the finance guy you had on. He talked money the whole time. But when you had these doctors telling me to come to the doctor, man, I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear the money. But I'm like, yo, you need to hear that because you don't want to spend all your money on medical bills. So, and then on top of that, we've had mental health experts come on the show. We had a sister came on Christmas time, talked about the real Christmas and mental health and when you have family over. So I'm just glad to have you on, man. So first off, like I said, again, thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I just want to jump right in, man. We're talking about the Safe Haven Therapy Services. What is that and how did you start that?
So Safe Haven Therapy Services is my private own practice. We're here in Maryland as well as Georgia, and we provide mental health therapy, talk therapy. So I started Safe Haven because I wanted to be the change that I needed to see in the world. I wanted to be what I needed as a, when I was coming up. So that's where that was the whole reason for me starting it. We've been in business for a year, almost 2 years now. Yeah, we're growing. We're continuously growing and expanding.
Definitely, man. And when I got the alert that you were coming on the show, I said, oh yeah, we need a brother like this, because we've had a lot of, and no hate, because this Black Men's Sundays, but we had a lot of sisters. I feel like everybody that we've had speaking of mental health were all women,
Right.
so to have a brother on here on Black Men's Sundays is a big deal. And you said you're out of Baltimore, Maryland, correct?
Correct.
Definitely. And let's talk about, because our show is built on generational wealth. And one thing that I really want to talk about is, we've had this conversation, but I feel like we need to have it again. Like when we're talking about mental health, we're talking about achieving long-term wealth. Is there a correlation between mental health and long-term wealth building? Or is that, because I feel like these days you hear everyone's talking about wealth. Now, mental health is like a big thing. Everyone's banking off of that now. So, when we're talking about mental health habits, is there a correlation with that to sustain long-term wealth building?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The thing with mental health is we experience a lot of our, or we, our, a lot of our mental health issues start at an early age. A lot of our mental health issues starts generationally. So if we think about it, we talk about generational wealth. If we talk about generational wealth as well as generational trauma, a lot of the way that we were brought up and a lot of the things that we were conditioned to believe and the ways that we were taught is how we show up in the world today. So, you have a, you, we tend to realize that money problems can be one of the leading causes of stress, anxiety, and depression. Financial instability can trigger shame, hopelessness, and avoidance behaviors. But if we were never taught those things growing up, or if we never had the right examples or the right role models, then it definitely affects how we show up in the world today.
For brothers that are saying, you know what, man, I'm building wealth for my family, my mental health is fine, I'm good. What are some signs of mental health that where it's like, okay, we need to talk to somebody about this, not just, keep it internally?
It could be withdrawing, socially withdrawing, or oftentimes, to speak to your point, you'll see a lot of brothers or a lot of people in general throwing themselves into work, especially men. They throw themselves into work, and that's their only thing right in that moment: work, work, work. And a lot of times we are performative because, if, as we all know, as men or as boys, when we were younger, we were conditioned to believe that you have to do this, you have to be this, you have to be a certain way, you have to be the breadwinner, you have to take care of the household, you have, X, Y, and Z. So we have all these things in our mind, and it impacts us in a way to where that's our sole focus. So we're performative. We become performative at that point. We're like, I got to do this. I got to go hard. I got to work 7 days a week. When in all reality, no, you have to take care of yourself first, because if you're no good for yourself, you're not going to be any good for your business, your household, your employer, anybody. So a lot of times I'll say that people often go into this grind mode and forget to take care of themselves mentally and physically. And then then there breeds mental health issues such as anxiety, depression come about, and there is such thing as functioning depression. You may see someone who is actively working and doing everything right, it's in our eyes, but then you don't know what happens when they get home. You don't know how they're feeling inside, after they were, but that's all they know to do is be performative, because a lot of times we're conditioned to believe that we have to be performative to earn love or to earn respect, especially as a man, in order to earn, and a lot of times even women. And may condition people to believe that in order to earn their respect, you have to be performative.
Great information, man. And I want to circle back to the Safe Haven therapy services. Like,
Yes, sir.
what type of services do you provide? How can brothers contact you? And let's take it from there.
Absolutely. We offer mental health therapy services. We offer services in Maryland and Georgia, and I also have a clinician who's licensed in DC as well. So we also offer group therapy. We offer group therapy, individual therapy, couples therapy, premarital therapy, all of that. So yeah, we are. And if you're looking for services, and if you're in the state of Maryland, Georgia, or DC, you can sign up on our website at www.safehaventherapyservices.com, and our admin will reach out and get you all squared away. We do accept most major insurances like Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, Aetna, Cigna, and we also accept Maryland Medicaid. So yeah, we do accept most major insurances as well as private pay.
What was the impetus of you starting Safe Haven?
For me, it was not seen. So my initial background was in criminal justice. So I was a probation officer fresh out of undergrad. Then I became a commissioner from Maryland. And I initially had the thought of being a criminal justice counselor in the prison system. However, for me, I didn't feel like that was helping anyone because they're ordered. People are ordered. They're doing it because they have to, not because they want to, or not because they want the change or want the help. So I would say when I got licensed, I decided I'm leaving the field as a whole and I'm just strictly doing counseling. So started working for a different private practice, and I've learned all the skills I could learn. And I wanted to be, and the private practice I was working for was predominantly white. So for me, I wanted to see more Black-owned practices, more people who can cater to our people. Because the thing about it is, the practice I was working for, or just say practices in general that aren't Black-owned, they will hire us. And they will use us to see the Black clientele, or specific clientele and their needs, or even minority, I'll say the minority. But where's the ownership for us? So that's why that was the whole point of me opening my practice, and also just to be the influence that I needed when I was growing up.
How fulfilling is it that, because a lot of brothers, when we, talk about owning a business, starting a business, the money you need to start up. So if you're willing, tell us, what type of money did you need to start your own practice? And how did you realize, or when did you realize that, okay, this practice is really about to happen for real?
I would say it depends on your overhead. So for me, our practice is fully virtual. As of now, we're fully virtual still, and it didn't take much as far as startup because of that, for that main reason. So it didn't take much, but I would definitely say have some seed money, and especially if you want to grow and expand your business. So, and I'll give you an example. My first year in business, I was the only clinician. I was the only person practicing. It was just me on payroll. And I did that so that I could save up the first year, because I knew that I wanted to expand. After that year, I wanted to expand the business and hire other clinicians and grow and build different partnerships and things like that. So I didn't pay myself. Everything that was coming in was going strictly to the business. I did have another job to keep me afloat, so I was still doing that as well while building and growing my business. So I didn't pay myself, and by the time that year came, I made sure that I had enough money saved in the business account to where I can pay employees. Let's say something happens with insurance, or they're not paying on time, because it is insurance. So something were to happen, or they're not paying on time, my employees don't have to suffer. They don't have to take a hit as best as I can, and still be able to pay overhead. So it's a huge you have to be determined. It's definitely a huge responsibility. And I would definitely encourage, if you are trying to open a private practice or open any business for that matter, do your research and have mentors, people who can help you, others who you see are thriving in their business or who in their similar business, and pick their brains. I did that with my mentor, and she has helped me every step of the way. Any questions I have, she still helps, whether it's financial or anything, even if it's down to referring her accountant to me, things like that. So it's definitely, it's not something I would say just jump into. It was more of do your research, plan out the finances, the overhead, and understand that the more your business grow, the more expensive it gets.
And let's jump back in, man. I want to talk because you did mention about generational trauma, breaking generational cycles. So, when we talk about, you hear a lot about you need to have a certain mindset, you need to have a business mindset. How do you build your mindset, but at the same time break these generational cycles for success?
Oh, that's a good question. Building a business mindset, first understanding that if you're not a business owner, you're just not a business owner. it's not for everybody. And that's not to be shamed or knocked. Everybody can't be a business owner. Everybody don't have the business mindset. But if you do, and if you want to go into a business, if you want to go into owning your own business, do you, as I said earlier, do your research, but prioritizing your mental health, that's my main thing, is prioritizing your mental health. Don't put the business before your own self. Because again, as I said before, if you're no good for yourself, you're not going to be able to show up for your business or anyone. So I always suggest prioritizing you first. The business will be there. Not being conditioned, not allowing yourself to be conditioned to believe that you have to show up in certain ways. No, you're human. You can show up. You can just show up, literally, just show up every day. And a lot of times we have to break those cycles and break those mind, break ourselves free from those mindsets. But in order to do that, we have to give ourselves permission to do that. Understanding that it's okay to not carry on the same things that we were taught or conditioned to believe early on that may not be as effective for us today. So breaking those mindsets and challenging yourself, challenging those thoughts. The second you feel like, oh, I have to work 7 days. We have to, because I got to get my business up and running, or I have to do this. Let's challenge that thought. And that's a little cognitive behavioral therapy. Let's challenge that thought. Who said you have to do that? If you do that, ask yourself, if you do that, and if you don't do it, what's going to be the difference? Your business is still going to get ran, right? You're still going to actively build your business. But is it okay for you to take a break? And those are the things that we learn, and that I even teach to some of my clients, because I also deal with high functional or high performing clients as well. And those are some of the things that I have to teach them, so they can say, you know what, I'm sh let me take a step back. Let me prioritize me, because I'm stressing for no reason. I'm putting all of this on me, and I don't have to make you number one and your business number two.
Got you. But what about for the brothers that are saying, well, you know what? I try to make me number one, but I speak to a lot of entrepreneurs. They're like, if I don't work, if I don't do this, I'm not going to eat. So how do I prioritize my mental health when I know I need to get to the bag?
One thing I always say is therapy is helpful for that. There's a way to get to the bag as well as get to yourself. Because again, if you're burned out and you burn, burnout is real, first of all. We can experience burnout in any profession. So if you're burned out, then you're not going to be able to get to the bag. So it's a matter of time management. Setting your goals, saying, okay, I know I need to make this to make sure that I pay my, I'm able to afford my bills and my lifestyle. So setting that financial goal, and then setting your personal goal to match that, to match that financial goal. So it's possible. As an entrepreneur, you don't have to work 24/7. You don't have to, feel like you have to grind out all day, every day. Because then that's where you experience burnout.
That's great information, man. That's great information. And let's talk about like the emotional health side of it. Like, how does emotional health impact, your financial decision making and relationships? How does that impact?
Oh yeah, absolutely. As I remember, I said earlier, a lot of money problems are the leading cause for stress, anxiety, and depression. So, and then financial instability triggers like feelings of hopelessness and avoidance and despair and shame. It becomes emotional problems when people equate their financial struggles with their personal failures, and that more so worsens their self-esteem. In all reality, your financial troubles has no correlation with yourself, with personal failure. You didn't fail because you're struggling financially, Some people look at it that way, but again, it goes back to what I said about cognitive behavioral therapy, changing that mindset and ask yourself, what is this teaching me? I didn't, I, you know, I'm not failing, because I'm struggling financially right now, but what is this teaching me? What can I learn from this? How can I proceed and do things differently next time? And that's where the emotional barrier come into play a lot.
How does that impact relationships as well?
Oh yes, relationships, depends on who you have in your circle. A lot of times, or who you have around you. A lot of times, when we have those emotional barriers, we tend to withdraw. We tend to retreat. So then that tends to put a strain on our personal relationships because we're not applying ourselves or and then also I always say when you set boundaries, the trash will take itself out. And what I mean by that is when you start to set boundaries, you'll see who's for you and who's not, because whoever people who don't respect those boundaries, those relationships will diminish. So when you start experiencing financial problems or financial issues, you'll see who's there for you. You'll see who the people who are meant to be in your life. And that's one thing with entrepreneurs. I think we experience that a lot. We start to see who's truly there when the times get hard and who truly supports us. And support, and this is the biggest thing for me personally with my relationships, is support. I don't need your money. I just need your support, you know? So I would say that's for me. It's different for everyone. So you have to pick the type of support you would need from people in your circle or people around you. And, hopefully they carry that through. So yeah, support is huge.
Yeah, man, because like I said, for me, outside of this podcast, I had no idea I would be doing anything really mental health related. And people started passing away. Was like, man, I think I just need to go see somebody just off the show I just did a week ago. And then they were like, yeah, I'm glad you did. You know what I mean? So, for the brothers out there that don't believe that mental health is a real thing, can we clear that up, please?
Absolutely, man. Mental health is real. A lot of the way that we may feel, or you may feel, you don't even realize that it's equated to your own mental health. I always tell people sometimes having an anxiety attack can or a panic attack can feel like you're having a heart attack. And I use that example because that just shows you how important mental health is. That shows that mental health is just as important as physical health. If you're not right up here, you can't be right anywhere. You have to prioritize. It's important to prioritize our own mental health because we don't realize, the effectiveness and how much our mental keeps us going. So if we're not prioritizing it, we're not taking time for ourselves, we're not investing in our mental health, whether that's therapy, whether that's meditation, or just self-care activities to keep us afloat and keep us grounded and keep us leveled, we're not going to show up in the best ways. And that's another thing. As I said earlier, our past affects how we show up in our present. So we're not even we, a lot of times we don't even realize that, oh, I'm showing up in this way, or I'm not showing up as my best self because it's attributed to these things in my past. So I feel triggered. I feel an unwanted emotion in this moment, not even realizing that that feeling for me is familiar. So let me stop and put a name on it and try to process this feeling and figure it out. Let me sit with it for a second. But no, a lot of us, we just keep going and going and going and going and going until things build up and they explode. And we don't have a choice but to prioritize our mental health at that point. That's more of a reason. That's why mental health is important.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I always hear mental health is health. And I was like, what do you mean it's health? But after speaking to you and speaking to a lot of other counselors, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense now.
Hey, Deshaun, this is Kalali. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Kalali? I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing good, man. It's always good. I'm glad you're in Baltimore. So I'm just about an hour south of you down here in Prince Frederick, Maryland. So, it's always good to get somebody from around the area on this show.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, man, I just want to talk to you a little bit. So, can we have like a deeper conversation? About what the topics you already talked about. So, touched on functional depression. Like, could you give us what does functional depression look like in action?
Absolutely. In action, functional depression looks very normal. You would never be able to tell oftentimes that someone is experiencing depression if they're functioning, because functioning depression looks like showing up for work. It looks like taking your kids to school. It looks like washing the car. It looks like everything that you would do in your normal life to function. It looks like that. So from the outside looking in, sometimes it's hard to tell when someone is experiencing depression if they're functioning. So, but what we don't see, the part that we don't see is what happens when they go home behind closed doors. We don't see, the tears. We don't see the stress and the panic, the possible suicide attempts. A lot of, I don't know if you've ever seen someone who have died by suicide, and people will say there were no signs, or this person was fine just yesterday when I talked to them, or this or that. That's because they were functioning, and that's why I feel it's important to check in with one another. It's important to check in on our brothers, say, hey, are you okay? I actually created a card game to start those dialogues for friends and for men in general. That's on my website as well. So just to start the dialogue, because a lot of times we don't know. We don't know how. We don't know the right questions to ask. So just saying, hey, are you okay? And, they might not give you the answer that you're looking for. They might not go into in depth. And that's why I have those card, though, that's why I created that card game to have those prompts.
Cool, no, I appreciate that. And it's just it's a concern for me now, because you probably know as well as I know, living in the area, in the states that we're living in right now, and how people are being impacted by things that are going on, from the government level, funding, different things like that, people's jobs are changing, different things like that. I just see a lot of people who seem to be down, you know what I mean? Not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily call it depression, but you just, like you said, you never know, because they still showing up. They still, well, I'm on the grind, you know what I'm saying? Then they on the grind, you know what I'm saying? So
And they feel that they have to.
likewise, could you give us a little bit more about what burnout looks like? Because again, it's the same thing where I'm seeing people and I'm like even people I work with, where it's like they're showing up but they're not showing up, you know what I mean?
Yes. So burnout sometimes can look like fatigue. Burnout can, it's more than just being tired. Burnout is not just that physical part. Burnout is also that emotional exhaustion, that depersonalization, and where it's like you have that reduced sense of accomplishment. You feel like no matter what you do, you're not going anywhere. I always equate burnout to a car with no gas. You drive, you feel like you're driving it, but you're not going nowhere. Or yeah, so it shows up both in our professional lives and in our personal lives. It's shows up as irritability, lack of motivation, and sometimes even physical illnesses can show up as, burnout can show up as or manifest itself as. And we all, financial stress often accelerates burnout by making people feel trapped in jobs or situations they feel like they can't leave. So yeah, burnout is it looks different in everyone, of course, but it's definitely something to look out for, and it's more of a feeling than anything.
Does it manifest differently in genders, like male versus female? Does it manifest differently, or does it manifest like the same way,
It
basically?
manifests different. I think it manifests differently in everyone. That's the thing. We all, because we all handle situations differently. It may be similar in some people, but we all handle situations differently, and we all show up in life differently. So it could look different for each person.
Okay, cool.
For instance, some I would say you may see someone who often spends more time on health care, quick fixes, or unhealthy coping strategies, or someone who staying in a toxic workplace because of financial insecurities, or and that tends to deepen the mental health strain even more. So it looks different. It looks different for each person.
Okay, you had any tips like how I could maybe help some of my coworkers and colleagues who I feel might be d dealing with?
Absolutely. One. Take a break. Encourage your colleagues that it's okay to take a break, especially if you're in a managerial role. Allowing them to take that break because people feel like, oh, I have all this time and I can't use it because my job needs me, or we're short staffed. That job is going to go on without you. That job will go on and it will function. What did it do before they had? What did they do before they had you? Also encourage financial boundaries, whether that's budgeting for rest, budgeting for vacations, budgeting for therapy. It's these are all investments, not just luxuries. These aren't just luxuries. These are investments as well. Or building recovery routines, things like that. So recovery looks like sleep, exercise, mindfulness, and sometimes community. Sometimes we need that community. We need to be around our people. We need to be surrounded by like-minded people. We need people to pour back into us the way that we pour into everyone else, including our workspaces. Even if in the workspace, I think more workplaces are starting to get around, go, are starting to add or normalize mental health days, where they offer wellness programs, setting realistic performance expectations, or just allow and give you like mental health time where you can just take off just because your mental is not right. So, yeah.
Now, that's what's up. You definitely dropped some gems there. I'm gonna remember that. So you said sleep, exercise, mindfulness, and community. I'm gonna
Absolutely.
remember
Heavy on community too. Heavy on community because
Yeah,
we
cool.
need our brothers.
Yes, I'm gonna definitely remember that. Those are at least four areas that we can focus on in terms of keeping our mental health up. So yeah, I'm gonna definitely continue to think about those. You also talked about the business mindset, right?
Yes,
So
sir.
I take my hat off to you because you're not only in the medical field, but you're also a business owner. You know what I mean? So I definitely take my hat off to you for that.
Appreciate that.
We talk about everybody can't necessarily run a business. Could you give us just your idea? This is just your idea of what it takes to really have a business mindset.
I would say it takes determination, and I wouldn't say that everybody can't run a business. I would more so say that everybody don't want to run a business. Not they can't, but that's not their favorite area or their area of expertise. A lot of times people are forced into businesses because it's the family business and it's passed down. But in all reality, that's not what they want. That may not be what they want to do. So then businesses fail that way. But I would say having a business mindset requires determination. Sometimes you may work, longer hours than the average person. But also making sure you have that time for yourself as well, making sure you balance all of that out. But it's a different type of drive. It's a different determination that you just can't buy. So yeah.
Agreed. So you say you got a degree in social work?
Counseling.
Oh, counseling. And so how long did that degree take? I'm just wondering.
My counseling degree, which should have took about 2 to 3 years, took me 4 years because I didn't my master's program. I stopped and then I restarted.
Okay.
So yeah, it took me about 4 years to complete it. But it takes a person 2 to 3 years.
Cool. Hey, and ain't no shame, man. You got it done, and now you got your own business. So ain't
Absolutely,
no shame, man. Even if it would have took 10 years, you know what I'm saying? You did it.
it's what they say. It's a marathon, not a race.
Exactly. Now I just like to get that background because right now, and then this is just my own personal, whatever. But right now we have a lot, folks, have a lot of emphasis on like, doing other things, and I just like to show for people to come on the show what it takes to get from where we were to where we are. So in your case, you were doing your thing, but you wanted to do another thing, you wanted to do a greater thing, right? So you had to invest 3 4 years. So the other thing is, so you talk about overhead, right? That's really your overhead. That was your investment in yourself in terms of your 3 to 4 years where you said, look, man, I'm focused on this. You know what
Oh,
I'm saying?
definitely.
I'm
That
trying
was
to get you.
definitely my overhead in that time. When I speak on the business overhead, that is your systems that you're paying for. That is your rent. If you have personal space, that's your electric. Anything that's pouring back into the business that you have to pay for, because unfortunately, nothing's free. That's your accountant, and that's another thing I stress. Hire people when you get to a point of where you can afford to hire people to do certain things. Delegate those roles because your business is your baby. So initially, you're not gonna wanna get delegate responsibilities or hand over roles or hand over your business. But it's okay too, because if you don't, you're gonna find yourself like an octopus trying to with as if you have a whole bunch of arms, a whole bunch of hands, trying to do so much at once, or just trying to maintain so much. When in all reality, that's what we got people for. Especially if I'm horrible with numbers. So I mean, I can do what I need to do, surface level. But when it comes to getting deep into the numbers and taxes and IRS, I had to hire somebody because. A lot of things that we may not be skilled at. I failed math in high school like 40 times. And in college, maybe not 40 in college, but I failed math once or twice in college and undergrad. So I am aware. So it's being self-aware. I'm aware that I am not good at math. I'm not too good with numbers. I know money, but I'm not too good at getting in the depths of it. I'm okay with delegating that responsibility. And then the more you grow, the more your role will put you in other spaces, or require you to be in other areas. So you're gonna wanna delegate responsibilities to people because you can't do everything. And then as a CEO, you don't wanna have to do everything.
That's the goal, ain't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, Deshaun, definitely appreciate you coming on the show, taking some time to talk with us, man. Appreciate everything you
Thanks for
said.
having me.
Thank you.
So yeah, man, I'm gonna jump back in, man. I'm gonna ask you the hard question, man. You enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
I am. I was actually resting today, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, man. And I noticed on your website, you mentioned it a little bit about the Hey Friend, Are You Okay? The card game. Can
Yes.
we do a little back and forth with that just to kind of get a little flavor for it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So there are two. I have two editions. The first one is the Friends edition. That one is where you check in on your friends. And I created that one. It was personal for me because a lot of my friends see me as the strong friend because I'm the therapist, but not realizing that I might not have the same issues as them, but I do have issues. And then also on the flip side, my fr a lot oftentimes my friends have issues. So I created that game to start the dialogue. It has questions in there that prompts conversations. So it might be I don't have any in front of me right now, but it might be a question that says, what is your biggest fear? It goes deeper. So you can play them in a group setting. You can play them in a, at just one-on-one. You can use them in at work, work settings, all types of things. I use them in meetings. I also use them for group therapy as well. Then I just launched the men's edition earlier this year for Men's Health Month, a few months ago. And that one is solely catered to men because there are things that we don't talk about. There's like questions surrounding masculinity, how we supposed to show up, all types of things as men that we don't talk about and that affects us. But as a man, we're often told that we can't discuss certain things. It's either don't discuss what's going on in this household or stop crying or, we don't feel safe enough to express our emotions because we weren't allowed to all our lives. So the card game, the idea of it is to break down those barriers and break those stigmas.
Great information. I'm gonna have to check that out, man. And what's your website?
www.safehaventherapyservices.com.
Okay, definitely gonna have to check that out, man. And
Definitely.
I'll have two more questions, then we'll be out of here, man. You mentioned when you were talking to my brother Kalali about time management with entrepreneurs. I do hear a lot of brothers now where, some brothers may have detached from their job and they're doing their entrepreneur full time, but they're telling me, man, I enjoy it, but it's like I'm working way more hours now. I'm not really eating like I should. Like I'm not really managing time the way I would on a traditional job. So for the entrepreneurs out there, the brothers in general, what are some good ways to balance and maintain time management?
Yeah, for sure. Time management is an intentional effort. Time management is intentional. I say that again because we have to intentionally prioritize our time the way that we prioritize everything else or prioritize our downtime. So, whether that looks like making a schedule for yourself to say, okay, I'm going to work these hours, work on this at these hours, and then this is going to be my time for myself. This is going to be the time I spend with my family. But we have to pray, we have to be intentional about it or it won't work. And if we're, and because a lot of times, as I said earlier, we are so performative, we don't feel like we can allow ourselves that time. So that's more of a reason we have to be intentional because naturally, if we don't feel like we can allow ourselves time for ourselves, naturally we're just gonna keep going. Our minds and our bodies are just gonna keep going. So, time management looks like being intentional about prioritizing time for yourself, time with your loved ones, time to just do things that you enjoy. That's not a part of work. Separate yourself from the business, separate yourself from the job, and do something that you enjoy because that's what's going to keep you grounded, even if it's just meditation, if it's some time to just walk and think, some time to just journal, some time to catch a movie, or for me, I like binge watching shows, so like series. So that's good time management for me. I take some time to just binge watch a series. I make sure I make time for family. So yeah, it looks different for everyone, but it's more of the intentionality.
Gotcha. My last question is like, when should you see a therapist? A lot of brothers say, man, I don't need to see anybody. At what point do you really need to see somebody?
I love that question because I always get asked, do you think everyone needs therapy? So I don't think everyone needs therapy, but do I think everyone can benefit from therapy? Absolutely. So at a point when you say when you need to see someone, I would say it's always good to see someone. Think of it as maintenance. Sometimes, or I have clients who only see me monthly because they want their tune, they take comfort their tune up, and they're good to go out the rest of the month, utilizing the skills that we learn in therapy and the techniques. So I would say it's always good to see a therapist, but as far as when you feel like when you need it, there's a huge emotional distress that you may experience. At that point, you can say, okay, I definitely need to talk to someone. But again, it goes back to when I said it's always good to do therapy because we can avoid that emotional distress. We can avoid hitting that barrier, hitting that roadblock. I just think we all have a lot going on, and especially with today's economy and today's climate, it's who doesn't need therapy? We have a lot going on. We're all experiencing a lot of the similar things, a lot of the same things that's causing heightened anxiety, and it's causing unfamiliar behavioral pattern or unfamiliar behaviors and things like that. So I think it's often always a good time to seek therapy, even if it's on a monthly basis or bi-weekly basis. It's often always a good time to seek therapy.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. All right, Deshaun Harris, man, licensed clinical psychotherapist, mental health advocate, owner of Safe Haven Therapy Services, man. I appreciate you coming on Black Men Sundays. I
You got it.
appreciate your time, man, and thanks again. It's a Black Man Sunday.